Parshas Vayera, we have 7 out of the 10 makos. Toward the end of the parasha, we talk about makos barot. I'd like to talk about an Indian we spoke about many years ago, come to a very similar conclusion. However, look at it from a very different vantage point, how we're going to get there, and the lessons that are going to be learned, and that's the beauty of learning, that we can understand it on many, many different levels, the very same idea. Parshas Barot, we have that it's a warning first that the Barot is going to happen, the hail will descend upon them, and they shall die. And the Chumash tells us and now send, gather in your livestock and everything you have in the field, all the people and animals that are found in the field that are gathered into the house, the hail shall descend upon them and they shall die. So again, there's a warning, and if you're out in the field, you're going to die. If you come into the house, you'll be saved. So the Chumash tells us in Pasuk Kaf, whoever among the servants of Paro feared the word of Hashem, those who were Yerei et Dvar Hashem, they chased his servants and his livestock to the houses. They indeed brought their livestock to the houses. And whoever did not take the word of God to heart, velo sam el libo, he left his servants and livestock in the field. And then Hashem said to Moshe, stretch out your hand toward heaven, and there will be hail in the entire land of Egypt, man, beast, and all the grass of the field, the land of Egypt, etc. The obvious question, the question that's articulated by many of the Mefarshim, Rabbi Friend, who we'll see here in Source 3. Statistics are usually quite reliable, especially when the percentages are high. So far, Moshe was 6 for 6 in his predictions about the upcoming plagues. He had not yet made a single mistake. One would think that the probability of his being right again regarding the 7th plague was pretty high. So why did all the Egyptians pull their slaves and livestock indoor until the danger passed? At least, on the off chance that Moshe was right. Wasn't it stupid for them to leave everything outside? There was a good chance it would be destroyed. So this is probably the question. Here Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a warning. He's telling you, bring everything inside. You would think that, you know, just on the off chance that he'll be right, 7 for 7, you bring it inside. What were the Egyptians thinking by keeping it outside? It makes absolutely no sense. And there's one answer that I'd like to suggest today. One approach. And it's this approach that I'd like to look at from a different number of different angles, that Mamish is the core, not only of the people in the time of Egypt, it's Mamish the core of our Avodas Hashem Ad HaYom HaZeh. It's Mamish Yisod. Notes of Mishnat Shemen. Rav Kaufman, source number 4. Vera'iti b'sefer Lukutei Yehuda from the Baal Imrei Emes from Gur. This is the following word. He says, if you take a look at these two psukim that we just spoke about, you see that they're not parallel. One pasuk talks about the person who was Yarei et Dvar Hashem, the one who feared the word of God. So the next pasuk should say, and the one who didn't fear the word of God, didn't bring them in. However, it doesn't say that. It says the one who feared the word of God brought them in. And then it says, Vasher lo sam libo. And the one who didn't pay attention didn't bring it in. So if it was parallel, the one who paid attention brought it in, the one who didn't pay attention didn't bring it in, nicha. If it was the one who feared God who brought it in and didn't fear God who didn't bring it in, nicha. But here it doesn't seem parallel. The one who feared God brought it in and the one who didn't pay attention. What does not paying attention have to do with not fearing God? It seems to be two separate things. Allah Shibahagufa Shamar Zopashinui Lashon Ba'ala wrote the end of 4. We now have an insight into what Yiras Hashem, the fear of God, is all about. Vaklal Hamor Basehino Shematzav Shal Yare Dvar Hashem Lumara Shirlo Sam Libo Zoachen Davar Vehipucho Mamash. The one who fears God, the opposite of that is one who doesn't pay attention. The asterisk in 4, Shemidas Yiras Shamayim Eitzokol Achad. You want to know, and this is a gewaltic insight of the Rebbe of Gur. You want to know how to measure someone's Yiras Hashem, someone's Lifi Simat Halev, look at how much they pay attention. How much they pay attention and what's happening in front of them. Why didn't these people bring their cattle in? The answer is simple. They weren't paying attention. They were so absorbed and involved in so many other things in their life, that wasn't their focus. And because they weren't paying attention, their focus wasn't on this, they didn't listen. What does this mean? What is this all about? What does it mean to pay attention? What does it mean not to pay attention? So just to develop this a little bit further, Rav Wolbe in Ali Shur quotes this idea from the Rebbe of Gore, and he says in Source 6, Kol ha-nekudah shel yirat shamayim, the double underline, he shadam yafsim lev. The core of Yiras Hashem, the fear of heaven, is paying attention. Ve'im lo yafsim lev, and if you don't pay attention, if you don't have this consciousness, afilu im yiren nisim gluyim, even if you see great miracles, heim lo yasu alav shum roshem, they won't make any impression. Neis lo oser roshem ba'ofen automatic. A miracle automatically does not make an impression. Rak im yisponei b'chol davar yiren nisim, unless you look into it, you think about it, you contemplate it, you make it part of yourself. Continuing the asterisks in 6, ech ovdim al alev, ech machlisim davarim torim al alev, how do you become a person who is a person working on themselves, a person of Yiras Hashem? This is the answer. One phrase, im simas lev. Kishadam sam lev l'mash Hashem omer, zot hi yira, simas lev. And if you don't pay attention, oseh ma shelibo chafet, loch palo ma shomrim, ein lo yira. If you're not going to pay attention, you're going to do whatever you please, and then there's no yira. And this is our challenge, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in continuing, and 9 says, Kim lo samim lev, zimechayev. V'adam eino rotze lachshov lipponim b'yirat shamayim mishum shorotze lecha b'shrirut libo. Why don't we want to pay attention? Because we want to do whatever we feel like. And it takes so much more effort to pay attention and to be able to assimilate what we see. And then we're going to have to change. And people don't want to change. Rabbosai, we're getting here to mamish the core of what the struggle in Yiddishkeit is about. Very famous idea we've spoken about many times of Chaim Mordechai Katz, who tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Source 7. The wise person learns from everything that occurs to him. He tries to gain understanding from each occurrence. Even if he does not merit to gain a total understanding, the attempt to gain a deeper grasp of the matter in itself expands his mental scope, but a fool's eyes are focused on distant horizon. He does not to pay attention to what's happening right in front of him. His heart feels what is happening around him, and he constantly learns from everything. That is the wise one. Hence, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Moshe Rabbeinu has to say, "Hitiyasfu ru'ut Yeshua Hashem." I want you to stand, and I want you to see the salvation of God. Duh. They're not going to see the sea splitting in front of them. That's exactly where Rav Wolf saying was, well, you can see a sea split and see nothing. You can see a sea split and not be impacted by it. Miracles on their own do not do much. What's the proof of this? 3 days later, they're complaining once again. The challenge in life is to see and to change. The challenge in life is to live a life of focus and awareness. Rav Schwab mentions in his footnote in Sefer Iyov, where he says so beautifully, he says in one of his notes that when he talks to somebody and they say to him, excuse me, could you repeat that? I didn't hear what you said. He realizes that they weren't meant to hear what he just said, and he reframes what he had just said, because he realizes this person needs to hear it quite differently. That's a person who's sam elav, who's paying attention. How many times do we press send on an email and it sends? And what happens to those times we press send and it doesn't send? Do we press send again? Or do we stop and say, well, why didn't it send? It always sends. It usually sends, 9 times out of 10. Maybe there's something in this email that needs to be reworded. Sam El Lave, you pay attention and you say, what's happening around me? The Manchester Rav Segal in source number 8, he notes this. He says, it's related that a man once observed a pot cover being lifted from the pressure of the steam inside the heated pot. Noting the power which the bottled up steam produced, the man began to research the matter. His investigations culminated with the invention of the steam locomotive. The man had been seeing nothing new. Millions of his contemporaries observed the same scene daily. But only this man thought into his everyday phenomena until he arrived at a monumental finding. So was the case for Rabbi Akiva. The stone that he noted that had been there well before he had made his observation. Countless others had seen what he had seen. But how many of them had thought into the matter for it to change their entire life? Had Rabbi Akiva not reflected, right, the water drip by drop was able to bore a hole into the stone? Had Rabbi Akiva not reflected and applied his observation to his own life, he may have remained an ignorant shepherd. Instead, he rose, became the leader of his generation, the man regarding whom Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, who is such a person? When one studies the Pasuk of Chumash or teaching of Chazal, he must stop and ask himself, what have I just learned? What lesson can I glean from this? I must also learn to reflect upon the happenings around him in order to apply what lessons they have to offer to his daily life. Finally, one must learn to reflect upon his own desires and aspirations, to ponder them well, and ascertain which stem from his Yetzer Tov, his positive inclination, and which are rooted in the opposite. Such is the way to true greatness. Rabbosai, this is the key for our Avodas Hashem. You want to know the key to become great? You want to know the key perhaps, in your aliyah, in your moving forward up the ladder? It's one nekuda, it's one aspect. And that is Simas Lev, is paying attention. Pay attention to the people around you. Paying attention to the happenings around you. Paying attention to the Ashkacha, the divine providence around you. Paying attention to what you're learning. Being able to assimilate, to process, to grow. Not just to go through life in a passive state, but in an active state. Not to be the passenger in a car, but to be the driver in the car. And when a driver sees and when a passenger sees are two different things completely. See my slave. It's paying attention. It's being aware. You know, it's interesting. Chazal note, again, Rabbi Fran, that who was the individual that feared God, who put his slaves inside and his animals? That was Eov. And who didn't pay attention? That was Bilam. Bilam, that famous sorcerer. It's interesting that many years later we find Bilam going out to curse the Jewish people. And he has that famous story with the donkey, where the donkey sees the angel of God that Bilam doesn't see, and he turns off the path a number of times, and Bilam's hitting him each time. Finally, miraculously, the donkey spoke to Bilam. Is this my normal pattern of behavior? Have I not been your trusted donkey for all these years? Have I ever stolen you once or given you a moment of trouble? So why are you beating up on me? In other words, can't you see that something extraordinary is happening? Why don't you pay attention? What's going on, Bilam? Wake up! The Chafetz Chaim points out in the Arrow Intent that the entire episode of Bilam in the Torah appears as one long, uninterrupted narrative. There are no stumos, no psuchos, no breaks whatsoever. Why? Because Bilam never stopped to think about what he was doing. He never stopped to take stock and consider the wisdom of his actions. This was Bilam. When Moshe issued his warning about the impending hailstorm, Bilam could not be bothered to pay heed to it. He was thinking about his own plans, his own agenda. His mind was made up. Notes from my friend, source number 11. We think that this sort of behavior is bizarre. We laugh at Bilam's foolishness. But are we much better ourselves? Consider just a small thing. The pace of life. It used to be that we had to spend inordinate amounts of time on tasks that are accomplished easily and quickly by modern appliances. We have automobiles, self-defrosting refrigerators, washing machines and dryers, fax machines. The list is practically limitless. right? And now you don't even have to get out of your house to shop. You shop online for everything. Who goes to stores anymore? For groceries, for clothes, for whatever you need. You're shopping online. You're sitting in your home. It doesn't take time to find a parking place. You don't need to have quarters for meters anymore. You don't. It's a wondrous life we live. So if we had a net gain in time, have we managed to catch our breath because of all these labor-saving devices? Do we have more time to learn, to spend with the family, to reflect, to rest? In fact, just the opposite is true. We're more rushed than ever. The pace of life is so rapid that we can barely breathe. Something is wrong. But do we pay heed? Do we stop and think about what's going on around us? Do we stop to assess our lives to see if they perhaps have gone a little off the track? It's not only Bilam that fails to stop and to think. But both sides, this is the challenge that we have, all of us, in our lives. See my slave, paying attention. What are the reasons, perhaps, why we don't pay attention? It seems to be so obvious. We can pay attention. We can learn from so many people around us. We can see how certain people behave in certain ways that are truly acts of greatness, and we want to mirror their actions, and we can become great ourselves. We have so many opportunities. Life is a laboratory of learning. Why aren't we learning? Why aren't we assessing ourselves? So I think there are a number of things that block us. Number one is, says the Das Torah, based on the Masilut Yesharim, is our Yetzer. It's our inclination. That Yetzer Hara that we all are familiar with. And he notes in source number 13, the Masilut Yesharim writes, Inyan HaZehirus Hu Sheyeh HaAdam Nishar B'Masav U'Binyanav. Masilut Yesharim begins, as step one really, is Zehirus, being able to be careful, to be able to look at what we're doing. Klomar Mitzvonenu Mefakeach HaMasav V'Drachav HaTovim Heim Olo, to ask ourselves, is this the appropriate way or not? And this is what we have to ask ourselves, as Chazal tell us, Al kein yomru ha-moshlim b'Yitzram, bo'u v'nachshov cheshbono shel olam. The only way we can really be able to see if we are on the right path or not is being able to take an accounting. And he says, Zehirus halohi, the double underline of 13, ha'alef mamash ha'tchala mikol. It's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of the ABCs. V'nei zot ha'zehira lo yitachen liyoki maidei moshlim b'yitzram. And the only way to be able to have this midah of Zehirus is to be able to be in control of yourself, to be able to stop yourself, to be able to think, not to just go along with what everyone else is doing. The way the Masilut Yesharim writes it, he says in 15, the prophet Yirmiyah criticized the evil of this generation caused by this very failing. They did not pay attention to their deeds and inspect them critically to see what they were. Should these actions be performed or be abandoned? They never asked themselves, should I or shouldn't I? They just went ahead. And he said of them, Yirmiyah Chet Vav, no one regrets what he has done wrong to ask, what have I done? Instead, everyone ran about like a horse on a battlefield. In other words, they chased and ran in the course of their habits and ways without allowing themselves time to be precise and critical about these same habits and ways. Rabbi Yaakov Hillel on this piece adds, for the very people of Yirmiyah's generation, the only criterion was how they felt. With this type of lifestyle, impulse is everything. If one feels the urge to travel up north, one goes, no question asked. And if the next day one has a sudden desire to go south, he's on his way south, no problem. Wherever one's interests are at a given moment, that's where he heads, dashing off in pursuit of the current craze. Like animals, such people are ruled by instinct, not by intellect. Every day has its own new folly. The act of that allowing themselves time to be precise and critical about their habits and ways. The people of Yirmiyah's era just forged ahead on thinking. No one stopped to ask, is this the will of Hashem? Is this what he wants of me at this particular moment in time? Is this the right way to act? Is this the right person or people to associate with now? What am I really doing? All these are questions which man must ask himself. But they did not ask, and as a result, they fell into the trap prepared by the evil without noticing it. And the worst of it was, they never even realized what was happening. Picture a horse on a battlefield that runs and charges back and forth, left and right, never truly knowing where it's going or why. Is this how a man should live his life? Why don't we stop and really look at the way we live? What pulls us this way or that? Someone said, let's go, and we're off. Why? Who or what makes our decision? Is it instinct or intellect? Rabosai, barrier number one that stops us from being able to really take this sima slave, this paying attention, is this yetzer, is this instinct of ours that just pulls us in any direction that we feel like. And it dominates all aspects of our lives. Everyone's dressing this way, so I'll dress this way as well. Do I stop and ask myself, is this appropriate? Is the cut, is the length, is the style, is this the way a Bas Yisrael should dress? Who has time to think along those lines? Everyone is doing this. This is what I'm going to do. The shade or length, whatever it is, everyone's doing it. This is what I'm going to do. How it looks, what impression it makes, who's thinking about that? Everyone does it. All of these, my friends, this is just in the area of sneos. It's in the area of every area of our lives. We are so drawn by the peer pressure. We're so drawn by our impulses and our desires that the worst problem is we don't even realize how drawn in we are, that we don't even stop to think, is this appropriate or not? And when you're in such a state, you're no different than that horse on the battlefield that's in a crazed state of back and forth. The problem is, my friends, we don't live a day or a month or a year like this. We can live 70, 80 years like this and never stop and think. And never ask ourselves, why am I here? What am I doing? We never stop and think for ourselves. And part of this challenge, my friends, is because we don't allow ourselves, and particularly in our day and age, we don't allow ourselves the time and the space to be able to give ourselves this thought. The Sefer of the set of Bilvavi Mishkan Evne has a Sefer Dad Atzvecha, Getting to Know Yourself, Rav Itamar Schwartz. And he says, as mentioned, each person, 17, has a social aspect, which pushes him to seek companionship along with the aspect of alone. When we look around in the world, we see that most people seek companionship. And we know this is important. But a person must have the ability to be alone as well as to relate to others. Most people are surrounded by others for almost the entire day. Nowadays, when a person is alone, he's almost always influenced by the media, various kinds of cell phone, and other forms of contact with the outside world. There are even those who sleep with their cell phones on when they go to sleep because I don't know who might need me. They're connected to the outside world 24/7. But the social aspect of human being is only positive when it's used within its proper limits. Beyond that, it's negative. Used wisely, it develops the person. When it goes beyond its boundaries, it destroys it. The social aspect of person life must be only part of it and not its entirety. We must get used to and eventually maintain the idea there's a state called levado, alone. And he says, for example, let's say a person is involved in a very, you know, concentrated work. Right? You're examining your books, you're in calculations, and the phone rings. He says, to stop and answer the phone means you're going to have to start all over again. It's okay to turn off the phone and just focus on what you're doing. And this is true of everything we're in. We have to develop the habit. We have to train ourselves that we allow ourselves not to be disturbed. We have to allow ourselves to live in a world, and he calls this focus, in the modern psychology world, you could call it mindfulness, being able to live in the present right now without all the distractions. There are people who hold two cell phones, one in each hand, and answer both of them at the same time, continuing in 19, and while they're conversing with two people simultaneously, they're also looking at a screen that is in front of them. You think that's so strange, my friends? Look in the mirror. Even an angel cannot accomplish more than one task at a time. Apparently, these people become higher than angels. The world we live in today is completely noisy. In olden days, people lived in quiet villages. One would ride on his donkey out in his field. He'd remain in his field all day and barely meet anybody. Now our lives are completely the opposite. We are terribly accessible. You know, you see this in a classroom. In the old days, you'd have to pass notes if you wanted to, be distracted from what the teacher was saying. And, you know, and that way you would talk to one person at a time or a very few group of people at a time. Now kids have their cell phones in many classrooms, and they're texting, and they're sending those, pictures that disappear, and I can chat, whatever they're called, Snapchat. And that's what they're doing in class now. They are communicating with hundreds of people at one time. We're living in a crazy era. We've lost this kind of life known as alone. I'm not speaking here about the religious consequences of this kind of lifestyle, when people answer the phones during davening and make noises to the receiver to indicate that they can't talk then. We're simply asking for a person to at least be calm, even if he's only involved in material things. He must direct his life in an organized fashion. When a person is busy with something, that should be the only thing he's doing, and nothing else should interest him. And the classic example of 20, a mother's putting her children to sleep. The phone rings. Who's more important, the phone or her children? Why do we have a Pavlovian response that we have to immediately get the phone or answer the text? There's nothing more important than your children. To be Moshe La Yitzram, to be in charge of our inclination, to be in charge of our lives, means that I have the ability to make a conscious effort that right now I will not pick up the phone. I am eating dinner. I do not need to see who's calling to tell them, I'm eating dinner right now. Could you please call back? I don't need to answer the phone. You know, we have something which was not around when I was growing up until a little bit older. And that's called answering machines. Yeah, they actually take messages for us, and that we can know, you know, who was it that we missed. And we can answer that text or that message later. We need to be able to be in control of ourselves, to allow ourselves not to be ruled by the noise, by the rush around us. We have to be able to limit our involvement with the outside environment, the end of 20, as much as possible in order to get used to being alone. Most people, 21, have few opportunities to be alone, but Hashem does give us some occasions in life where there is opportunity for peace and quiet. You don't need to use the time for thinking deep thoughts and developing the mind. Rather, you should allow your mind to relax and take a break from the rush of life. And this does not mean to look for a substitute activity. Just relax for a few minutes. Get used to the idea of an environment with nothing in it. No news, no distractions, no activities. Just peace and quiet. And my friends, this peace of mind will enable us to learn Torah better. We'll be able to daven better. We'll be able to be a better mother, wife, and friend. To live properly, we must get used to having a calm mind throughout life. This is attained by quieting down, quote-unquote, life for a few minutes here and there. A person can take the time to calm himself, whether it's a matter of focusing on a single task or a matter of sitting and enjoying a few minutes of quiet. Rabosai, this is our challenge. What is the opposite, or what is the essence of Yirat Shamayim, a fear of heaven? What does it mean to live a life of God consciousness? It means a life of paying attention. It means a life of focus. What stops us from focusing is the rush of life, is this horse running around wild, which is our life. I have to go here, I have to pick up this, I have to do that, I can't do, and I'm all over the place, and I don't have time to think. I don't have time just to quiet the brain and to say, whoa, do I really need to be doing all this? Maybe I can, you know, have someone else pick up that errand. Maybe I don't need to do this right now. Maybe I can just sit for a few minutes and contemplate my day. You know, they say that a great parent is one who sits down at the end of the day, has a notebook, and goes through each child, no matter how old the child is. They can be 50 years old, the child. And mark down, what does this child need from me? How can I help this child? How can I develop this child? How can I be of assistance or aid some, whatever it is, advice? You're focusing. And you add to that list, how can you help yourself? How can you add to your own life? How can you make your own life meaningful? It takes being able to step out of the whirlwind of life, to step out of the communications that we're in, this mega communication world we're in, and have quiet. It means sometimes that we're driving in the car, don't put on music, don't even put on a sheer. Think. What should you think about? Nothing. Clear your mind. Clearing your mind, seeing the beautiful trees changing color, seeing the snow on the ground. Allow yourself just to take in nature. This is what enables us to come into contact with deeper part of self and be able to notice and be able to pay attention to the world that is around us. Rabosai, this is why when you pay attention, when you're able to focus, when you're not just running around wild, your entire Avodas Hashem is going to change. As he says, as the Letitchel Yom brings down in 22, he says, when a person is some leiv, when you pay attention, when you're just thinking for a moment, umiyad kishashomei dvar Hashem makshivei tev l'ne'amar, v'advarim nechlasim los nova l'libo, v'kachu mabira kol davar, ha'im davar zeh kasher pasul. When you're able to clear that space in your mind, you're able then to have the appropriate mindset to look at your Avodas Hashem. Is this appropriate or not? You'll be able to have that ability to analyze and ask yourself, should I be saying this, should I not? You've gotten off that high-speed train, and you're able to focus. And notes from Chaim Shulevitz, it doesn't take rebellion against Hashem, Lo Aleinu, to have a lack of Yerushalayim. It takes just not paying attention. When we live an apathetic life, when we live a life of constantly being so busy with busyness itself, that itself is the road, the slippery slope downward to the Jutya HaTachtona, to the lowest depths. And my friends, the opposite is true as well. When I'm able to focus, when I'm able to be, to do the Cheshbono Shel Olam, and I have control of my Yetzer, and I control my inclination enough to stop and to think, not only am I going to be living a life that is going to be one of building and growth, my Avodas Hashem itself dramatically changes. Notes the Sefer HaAros from Zadel Epstein, a Masel Dikvor, he says in 23 in the asterisk, HaMisbonei B'davar Mishtomeim, a person who pays attention will be in awe. Sha'anu Harei Zochim LaSokol Yom Mitzvot Rabot. We have the ability every day to do zillions of mitzvos. And with paying just a drop of attention and focus, Hayav Sharlis Kadesh B'Kedusha Some Mitzvos, we can be able to do these mitzvos and elevate ourselves, V'lita Lo Malo L'Mala, and grow and become holy. V'Zayidei Machshava Rega Kata L'Fnei Shal Se Bracha. If you think for 3 seconds, 10 seconds before you say a bracha, I'm about to talk to Hashem. Baruch Atah Hashem. You, Hashem, are the source of all blessing. I'm talking to you. Nochach Atah. We're having a conversation. We are in a relationship. Wow! It's not a bracha anymore. Shehakol Niyeh Bidvaro. Everything has come about through your word. It changes that cup of water. It changes my relationship. It changes the molecules inside. There is a dynamic relationship here. I'm changed, the water's changed, the world has changed. What does it take from me? A few seconds of thought. As we've spoken about many times, Rav Pinkus said, the key in Avodas Hashem, one of the keys, is hachana, preparing yourself before you do a mitzvah. I'm about to enter a mitzvah. And that's what Rav, the Sefer Aros, Rav Epstein says here, v'chein b'chol ma'isa mitzvos, the end of 23, like Shabbos. Every mitzvah, Shabbos, what a gevaldig mitzvah it is. When I have the hachanos for Shabbos, I boil the noodles for the kugel, and I say, lichvot Shabbos Kodesh. It changes those noodles, it changes that kugel, it changes that cake, it changes everything. I'm putting my mind into what I'm doing. I'm not doing it in a robotic way. Sing, David, when you're baking and cooking. Gefaltig. Incredible. And he says, can you imagine if a person on Shabbos would, before they take that soup and they say, the soup is the Chvod Shabbos Kodesh, and you stop now more than 3 seconds, and you add a minute, and you say, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is a Bria Olam, that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. Wow! Shabbos is about recognizing the Borei Olam. Shabbos is about recognizing that there's a Creator, that the whole world has purpose. Suddenly different soup, and suddenly different Shabbos. What does it take? Simas Lev. Paying attention is synonymous with Yiras Shamayim. You know, sometimes people think, oh, to have fear of heaven, gosh, you got to be the greatest of tzaddikim. I'm not a tzaddikis. You know where? I'm not even on the track of tzaddikus. Like, you know, count me out. Whoa. You're missing the boat. You want to know what Yiras Shamayim is about? I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. And it's a secret that each and every one of us has the capacity and ability to implement every day of our lives. If you are, Moshallah Yitzram, if you're able to control your inclination, which means you're able to stop yourself long enough and think about what you're doing and ask yourself and to stop and to contemplate. He brings down here that the Chafetz Chaim was such a model of this, that before he did anything, he was conscious of what he was doing. So he would take a quill and ink to dip it in to see if the quill was sharp enough to write. He would, you know, like you go to Office Depot and see if the pen works, so you do kushkushkaya, you know, like you scribble. So what would he write? He'd write a malek and cross it off. That he would take that moment of to cross and use it for a mitzvah. Machal timcha zecher amalek, erase amalek. When he would pay a wagon driver, he would say, I'm doing the mitzvah of biyomo titein scharo. On this day, I'm paying the worker. It was a conscious effort, right, to think about this when you pay your worker and to consciously say the pasuk. Biyomo titein scharo, there's an obligation to pay your worker on that day. Again, if they're, you have a different relationship, you know, you're paid by whatever, 2 weeks, a month, whatever it is. It's a different story, but you hire somebody for a day's work, you know, Zeret, a maid that comes to clean your house on a daily basis, whatever it is, a painter, a plumber, and you say, I'm doing the mitzvah of paying somebody on this very day. Wow. It takes a mundane act and transforms it. The Leket Sichus Musa, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, 25, act. He says, this is the whole challenge of all Torah. U'b'chol Torah kula, third line down, yashrishu banu hargashat chashivutenu v'yikartenu lifnei amakom baruch hu. All of Torah is to make us realize how precious we are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say this in our brach of Asher Kedishanu mitzvotah, that Hashem has sanctified us in our mitzvos. V'hein omnam yashrishu banu kedusha v'chashivos. We just have to be able to tap into that inherent holiness and specialness. And he gives us a great example. He says not to steal. So let's say you see something of your friends that you really like, and you think about, wow, you know, they won't really miss it. They have a lot of them, and I really like it. So I'm going to take it. Stop. You know what? I shouldn't steal. That's like good. Don't get me wrong. That's an important level. But there's something deeper than that. If you think about it, Adain eino kadosh b'kedushas ha-mitzvos, not to steal because, you know what, I'm not supposed to steal. That's good, but it's not the kedusha of the mitzvah. If I stop and I say, you know why I'm not supposed to steal, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me not to steal, that's a higher level. And then I say to myself, you know why I'm not supposed to steal? Because Hashem has given every single person exactly what they need. And by stealing, it is really a lack of emunah, that I believe that Hashem doesn't know what I need, and I believe that I know better what I need than when He knows what I thinks what I need, and therefore I'm going to take something that I think I need that He doesn't think I need, and therefore, when I'm doing this, I'm really going against Hashem, and I don't realize that He tailor makes every person to what they have is exactly what they need. So if you followed all those needs, you understand that now when I don't take from somebody, it is such a much deeper awareness of my relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. The entire picture changes. The entire picture is developed to such a higher level. And that has to be our challenge. As the Shemin HaMishchat sums up this idea in 27, it would be enough if you just did this accounting. When you realize and you think about every good deed we do, and how far implications it has, and its effects in the higher world. Just recognizing a little simas late to recognize where we're at and how far we can go. This already is going to get us to the highest of levels. So my friends, what was the reason they didn't take their cattle in? Wasn't that a no-brainer? And the answer is, it wasn't because they didn't have Yiras Hashem, and only those with Yiras Hashem took them in fear of God. No. What they were missing was something fundamental. And it's something that, my friends, all of us are missing. And that is Simat Lev. They didn't pay attention. They were so engrossed in their Yetzer, in their own desires. They were so engrossed in what they wanted. You know, what came to them, what was... That who has time to think about anybody else? Who has time? Like Bilam is thinking about his donkey. It's not only going off the way, he just hit the donkey. That's all of us. And when you don't have that time, then you're like a horse on the battlefield. We need to have time to think, to contemplate, to be able to control our desires, to be able to think about the negative. Why am I doing this? Why am I following everyone else as well as the positive? What am I about to do? How can I enhance this particular bracha, this particular mitzvah? Shabbos, not stealing the positive and the negatives. And when I think about it, and I put a little bit of effort into it, again, it's a continuum, to that extent, I've transformed myself into holiness. I transform myself into a Yirei Hashem, a person who fears God. And it's that simple. It's just a matter of focus. And it's about practicing to be alone, practicing to have time to think, and practicing to be able to focus. And you know, I'll just add here, my friends, before going on, you see this so often when you're standing online. For those of you who still are shopping, you know, the poor schleppers who are still going to the stores and are not checking out themselves but have to wait for the checkout person and the person in front of you who has a post-dated check that it really shouldn't be a post-dated check, and we all know, we've all been there. When you're standing there at that moment, what are you doing? Are you frustrated? Are you saying, why can't they just get this right? Are you thinking about this poor checkout lady who doesn't know what she's doing because probably she's on her phone as well? Or are you taking this time and saying, I can't go anywhere anyway. If I'm going to get my groceries and I'm going to be standing here, allow this time for breathing. Allow this time to just feel like the world is going to just, you know, slide off my shoulders, all the tensions. And I'm just going to take these moments to relax. I have no kids yelling at me, unless you do. I have no pressures right now. I can't move the carpool faster. I can't move the line faster. Let me just sit and allow myself to be in self. I think we could suggest there are two other very similar aspects to the Yetzer that also preclude a person from focusing. One of them is, and I just want to mention them briefly, one of them is Negiah. And it's very similar to the Yetzer. Negiah means we have our own agendas. And because of our own agendas, we can't think beyond. And the way the Chochman HaMatzpun talks about it, quoting from the Madrega Sa'adam, it's a very often quoted piece, he says, in 32, in the third paragraph,
davar nifsad, ki
Sechem, knowledge, right? 6 out of 6 happen is dangerous when you're dealing with your own agendas. When I want my cattle to be outside because, you know, my home is just too small to have horses and donkeys and cows inside, and it's a little bit uncomfortable. And who wants my slaves inside with me as well? Just leave everybody outside. So then, yes, I will not pay attention to 6 out of 6 because this isn't what works for me. And when a person lives their life with what works for them, so then you're not interested in thinking. You're not interested in logic. You're just interested in self. And so often, in a time of trial, our sechel just goes off. Double underline in 33, like a cloud overtakes the sun. Your personal agenda, what you want, overtakes your mind. And it doesn't matter about experience. And that is why, when the Rambam talks about the Ordaniel quotes, when the Rambam talks about that in Hilchos Tanis, that a fast is for a person to realize what's happening around them, and it's not by chance, and that Kashmirch is trying to wake us up. And he says, if a person says, El Yomru Devar Zemiminaga Olam Iralanu, you know, it's coincidence, it's chance, these things happen, Zoni Kroni Kray, you know, life goes like this, Hareza Derech Achzarios, that's cruelty. To live your life thinking that things happen by chance, and that there's, you know, there's no one being ruling this world, you're missing the boat. And very often we do miss the boat. And we say, oh, this is just happened to be. When do we say this? When we want our, you know, agenda, our mindset to happen. So, you know, you really want something to happen and it's not going your way. You say, gosh, this isn't my day. You know, my luck is just not going so well today. That is somebody who's full of nekiyos. That's somebody who just wants what they want, and they're not able to see clearly. A person who is doing something over and over again, and it's not going, you have to ask yourself, well, why isn't it going? It may be that Hashem wants you to try harder. Granted. It may be Hashem doesn't want you to do this, particularly if it's something bad. It may be that Hashem is trying to wake us up. When a person is so immersed in ego, ego, as we know, stands for easing God out, when a person is so immersed in self and wants what they want to be accomplished when they want to accomplish it, they're not going to see anything but their desires. And when that happens, Yirat Shamayim, fear of God, is out the window. So my friends, this is the second aspect. One is, are we in control of our yetzer? Are we a mad horse, or are we able to rein it in? Who's the rider? Who's leading the horse? Am I can stop the horse, or the horse has overtaken me, and I have no say in what's going on in my life? Two, am I so involved in my personal, what I want to get done in my life, and what I want to happen, and how I want it to happen, that I can't see beyond that, and I refuse to pay attention to anything else going on around me? It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And again, the Rambam calls us achzorios. This is cruelty. One has to see the hand of Hashem. And our agenda may not match up with Hashem's agenda, and we have to be ready for that and open for that. And I would say the final, obviously there are many more, but the final one I'd like to speak about very briefly, of what stops us from having to see my slave of paying attention. And at first glance, you may say, oh, this doesn't apply to me, but it applies much more than we think. And that is called the Sifos in 35. One of the reasons why we're not Zahir, we're not careful. When there's mockery and making fun of, when a person mocks things that go around them, when a person is just going to make fun of what they hear, they are not going to be able to pay attention and be able to make the changes necessary. And we know that he continues in this idea here. He says that the end of 35, the Kokach Lama Lufisha Kemosha Komitzios 36, Hazahirus Talui Besimat Haleva Ladavar. Just like everything in Zahirus and being careful, it's about paying attention. Kain Kol Atzmo Shalashok, the whole idea of mockery and laughing, a no elamaysir halev mina machshavoda yisharod vayunot, is taking away the mindset of thought. And I will tell you, my friends, this was Paro and his servants, Hayu Leit Sanim. They were the biggest mockers around, and therefore they paid no heed, and their servants paid no heed. Rabosai, this is something that happens to us all the time. Somebody makes, you know, tells you a ha'ara, you know, it's better to be careful about such and such mitzvah or such and such hanhaga, right? And you don't keep this, and you're not careful about it. So your response could be, you know, I never heard about this before. I never thought about it. I never looked into it. Let me look into this a little more, and I'll change. Or you can make fun of it. You can say, oh gosh, give me a break. Where did you pick this from, kind of? You know, I'll give you an example. My daughter's class in high school. So the girls that she's with are very careful not to eat a wet fruit. They dry it very well, or they wash their hands like karpas, right? We wash our hands when we dip something in. When you have, you know, liquids that come in contact with salads, they wash their hands without a bracha first. So what would be the response of when you hear something like this, right? You know, dipping cookies into milk, or if you're from England, biscuits into your tea with milk, right? What would be your response? Your response would be, or regular tea, your response would be, oh, give me a break. You mean to tell me that you're going to wash your hands before you're going to do something like this? And again, I'm not talking about halacha here, my friends. I'm talking about concept here. You're going to dry the fruit. I mean, you know, give me a break. And you can make fun of them. Oh, such hanyaki, such frumies. What else are you going to come up with? Let's hear. And then you're not going to introspect. And you're just going to deflect. Or you could say, you know, I never heard this before. Come home and ask, you know, is this something that we also do? Let me see where it says it inside. And then you open the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he said, Hayare et Dvar Hashem, someone who's on a level of Yiras Shamayim, is Nisar B'Zeh. So maybe all of us all year aren't careful and only on Pesach, but if a person has Yiras Hashem, they will be careful. And based on what we're saying today, Yiras Hashem makes sense. It means someone who's paying attention. I'm thinking about this apple in my hand. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. I'm thinking, I'm conscious. So when you, and again, this is just an example, when you hear something like this, when you experience something like this, when a child comes home and tells you this, a 15-year-old, particularly 15-year-old, there could be many responses, and they can make fun of their friend. Ha ha, give me a break! Late sonos, you don't have to deal with it. You've deflected it. Or you could come home and say, wow, do you know what my friends do? I never saw this before. Let me look into this. Let me see if I want to also bring this as part of my repertoire, in my growth, in my Avodas Hashem. And then you're processing. And then you're thinking. And that's what's so crucial. And here, my friends, we come to our two punchlines for today. Rav Shur and Aleka Falibov notes that after the beginning of the Makos, it says, Vayifen Paro turned after Dam, Vayavoel Beito, and he went to his house, Velo Shatlibo Gamluzo, and he didn't pay attention also to this. Now, the Siftei Tzadik wants to know, what does it say? I mean, this is why the double Lashon of Vayavo el Beito, he came to his house, the low shot libo gamuzo, and he didn't pay attention also to this. So he quotes the idea of the following, it's a gevaldic idea. Vayifen paro kavanahi al dera shakatavizor kadosh parshas vayechi shumalashom yistakel umashkiach. Vayifen paro, he turned to his house. That is means he thought. V'kavana shaparu pana la'yein b'divrei ha'od. He looked at the sign. V'hu limei limud gadol shehir her tov av shalotikim v'zaklum ein lo shecha b'shamayim. He thought about the bate, thought about the sign. And he thought, wow, this is interesting. Even though it made no impression, the fact is he was able for a moment to think, and that has a tremendous implication in Shemayim. And you shouldn't underestimate even a small hearer. But why didn't this impression make any impression on him? Vayifen Paro, he turned, says the Zohar Kodosh, and he actually thought for a few minutes, wow, maybe there is a God. But then what happened? Vayavo el Beito, he came to his house. His house, which was Male, Avodzara, the Kochos, Akishuv, the end of 38, his house that was filled with idolatry, that was filled with witchcraft, it took all of that good spirit and positive feeling and dissipated it completely. And this is the lesson for us, that when we have good thoughts, we have to make sure that we're in a good surrounding. To be able to have a good thought and then to be surrounded by people, individuals, institutions that are going to be mezalza, they're going to make fun, is going to undermine those good thoughts and the paying attention. Going back to the example of my daughter, if she would come home being a neutral 15-year-old and say, not mocking, which Baruch Hashem, she's not, but Chas Hashem, could continue. If we would, she would say, you know, Ima, I saw something in the school today, which I have never seen. These girls are so careful about drying their fruit or washing their hands. What do you think, Ima? Now, the home has also a positive environment. She's neutral. She's ready to think. Vayifen Paro, to think. Now you vayavo beito, if the home is, oh my gosh, did I send you to such a school? This is what the girls are doing? Oh my gosh, what's going to be with you? Are you going to be the next Sanyaki? Oh my, I can't believe. What effect is it going to have on her? Shoop. Of course she's not going to do it. If the family is supportive, wow, let's look into this. You know, maybe that's something we should be machmir on. Maybe, you know, there's something lacking. And again, this is an example as a binyan av. It's an example for life. When the parents' attitude is, and the family's attitude is, wow, let me take this in. And I'll tell you, my friend, and my seminary students who are listening to this year can vouch for this. Girls who come back all fired up. They have the Yifen Paro. They turn. They think. They're in a year in Eretz Yisrael. They start contemplating. They start making changes. Vayavo el Beito. But when they come home, oh, you're the Rebbetzin. Oh, Rebbetzin, what do you want now? Oh, Rebbetzin, should we lay out a red carpet for you? All that cynicism, all that mockery, what does it lead to? Velo shalibo, gamlozo. They, too, start losing that passion and losing that resolve. And everything gets destroyed. That's the late sonos. That's the mockery. That's what undermines everything. Rabosai, obviously we understand it's a defense mechanism within us. If we're not keeping what we know we should be keeping, or as careful as we should be, of course we're going to have this. But if we're mature enough to say, this is not where I'm holding yet, but I appreciate that this is where you are at, and I want to build you, and I want to give you that, you know, credence for what you are doing. It's a whole different story. And that's why notes the Birkas Mordechai, Rabbis Rachi in 40, who were these very servants who took in their cattle? These were the ones that ran after the Jewish people into the sea, right? They took the 600... The cattle, where did all this cattle come from? Vayikach sheishmot rechav, the 600 horses to run after the Jews. Did all the horses die in Mitzrayim? So Chazal tell us, those who kept the horses inside. So how were these people of Yerushalayim suddenly running after the Jews? So he notes, Yerushalayim amiti yenachitzoni. To have real Yerushalayim, it can't be external. Yerushalayim amiti, the achzo, the double underline in 40, hachoderet, the asterisk mahuti, that has to be able to be part and parcel of us. Hamishanet Adam u'boneh Adam chadash and build us anew. So, my friends, what we've seen, and this is, I'm telling you, I say this every week, I know that, but I believe it every week. This is mamish fundamental. How do we access Yiras Shamayim? The Chumash is telling us here, in Bara, snuck in here. The idea of the Rebbe of Gur, those who fear God and those who don't pay attention. When you don't pay attention, whether it's because of your Yetzer, because of your inclination, because you're so busy, you can't stop to think, you can't stop to focus, you can't allow the mitzvot to impact you, to create kedusha, to create connection, to create higher levels of holiness, you're missing out on life. It could be because of your negios. You have an agenda and you can't get beyond your agenda. So you ease God out. There goes your shemayim. Or it could be leitzonos. It could be mockery. And that's why even when you're vayifen, even when you turn, you come to your home, you come to an environment that's going to mock, that's going to make fun of, you're going to lose everything as well. And my friends, I think very, very concretely, our careful consideration for today is to live a life of zehiras. To start working on being more conscious of the experiences that happen around us, the people around us, what we can learn from Rabbi Akiva and the Rock, being able to, when we get up, Basher Takum Min HaSefer, Chapeis Basher Lamadat, as Ramban in the Degeret, and his letter says, check, look, search what you've learned. How can we implement this into our lives? Walk out of the shir today, being more careful with the next bracha you say, to say it with an understanding beforehand, I'm connecting to Hashem. To cook for Shabbos is a whole different experience of cooking for Shabbos. When we invest ourselves into what we are doing, mindfulness, presence, being able to be there in a focused way, not only is what we are doing so dramatically changed, but our Yiras Shamayim, our fear of heaven, our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is dramatically changed. And this, my friends, is one of the greatest ways to move upward and onwards in our Avodas Hashem. I give all of us the bracha that we should have this careful consideration of Kol Tzad V'Shal at every step of our ways as we move upward in our Yiras Hashem, in our fear and awe and realization of the presence of Hashem in our lives.